What a beautiful song. We're all saved by grace if we're saved here this morning. I pray that's true. That's a little weak amen this morning, but that's all right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here. It won't be long this morning, I promise you. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and be finding your places in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. For your trivia quiz this morning, you want an easy one or a hard one? Easy one to start the day with, well, then that means you get the hard one to end the night with. So your easy one is going to be a true or false. True will go left hand. That's this hand over here, okay? False will go right hand. That's this one over here. True or false? Moses at one time had leprosy. Serenity's like this. Phil go, I don't know. Let me give you a hint. Now we're all going left hand, ain't we? Numbers chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tells of how God told Moses to put his hand into his bosom and pull it out. And it was white with leprosy. Then he put it back in. So at one time, a very short time, the answer is true. A young boy had just gotten his driving permit. He asked his father, who was a minister, if they could discuss the use of the car. His father took him to the study and said to him, I'll make you a deal with you. You bring your grades up, study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut, and we'll talk about it. After about a month, the boy came back again and asked his father if they could discuss the car again. They again went to the father's study, where his father said, Son, I've been real proud of you. You brought your grades up, you studied your Bible diligently, but you didn't cut your hair. The young man waited a moment and then replied, You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. You know, Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. Noah had long hair. And even Jesus had long hair. To which his father replied, Yes, and they all walked. That is a very true statement. If you have your Bibles, we'll be reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you got your places, go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this morning. The title of today's message is, See the Thunder. See the Thunder. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Father God, we come to you this morning, and we thank you for the honor and the privilege, Lord, to open up your word. Lord, a bunch of no good sinners reading something holy. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, who came down from on high, Lord, to die on the cross for us. We thank you for that, for the amazing grace, Father God. Lord, we pray today, Lord, if there be one here today who has not received that grace in their hearts, not received that redemption, Father God, that today will be the day of their salvation. Lord, be with Brother John and Miss Don in the back, Lord, as they teach the children. Lord, help the children to be attentive. And if there's one of age, Lord, is under conviction this morning, I would pray that they would cry out to you today, Lord. Father God, we just pray that you have your way and your will in our hearts and lives. Lord, be with this dear church, Father. God, as we make a decision tonight, Lord, may you open and shut the doors that need to be opened and shut. Lord, but just for a little while, we pray that you'll come down and join us. Hide your unworthy servant behind the cross, Lord. Bless the reading of your word into the hearts of your people. And Lord, may you be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. See the thunder. Many accident victims often would tell you that they never seen it happening. It just hit them. Many hunters have said that he was across the field, the big one got away before I ever seen him. Fishermen will tell you that he cleaned my hook and never felt a nibble. Y'all shaking your heads because you know I'm telling the truth. And we often ask, was that thunder? Because we never seen the lightning. We often, times in our lives, we miss so many things, but yet we hear the consequence. Or we see the replication of what happened. We see the damage after the fact because we got our minds are so busy what's going on with the day that we miss what happened in the first place. So the title of my message is See the Thunder, because oftentimes we don't know what's going on until it's already happened. We go outside and we look up and we look for the storm to see what made the sound. But we know that the storm has been brewing for hours because it just didn't appear above our house. We know here in New Mexico that we can look out across the horizon and if we pay attention, we can see a storm about 8 hours away. But oftentimes we still ask, was that thunder? As if it was a surprise or something new that happened in our life. Drivers miss the brake lights, oftentimes because they're on their cell phones. Or they weren't paying attention. They were, for women, they put makeup and stuff on. I've seen it going down the road. For men, we're off in la-la land. That's the truth of the matter, you know. We're just thinking about other things and we don't pay attention. The hunter missed the deer because of the squirrel running across the ground. It caught his attention. The fisher got bored and tired of waiting for the fish to bite, so he set his pole down. The storm snuck up on us because we never paid attention to the signs in the distance. It's a shame. It's not until the thunder that we realize that there was something going on in the first place. Sometimes it takes tragedy for us to see the sentence that was already wrote on the wall. It takes the rock bottom for some to notice they're even falling. We just don't pay attention. Paul here says to Timothy in verse 4, that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. First off, we need to talk about the man that warreth. In order to war for God, you have to first be what? Saved. So if you're not here today, you're not a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, can I tell you that a man died on a cross for your sins. A man to walk the face of this earth 33 and a half years sinless, spotless. He went to the cross for each and every one of us. And he died for you for a sin debt that you couldn't pay. And he died because he loved you. God sent him down long, long ago. He said from the foundation of the world was his plan to come and die for you. We talked about it in Sunday school class. In John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer, that he even prayed for all the believers to come because he knew of our struggles. Can I tell you that there's a man that came and died for you today? But we can't go on with the man that warreth until we get that portion right. Because you can't do anything for God today unless you're first saved by his grace. You can't do anything for the Lord today unless first you come to the knowledge of his saving grace and to repentance and cry out to him. For that's the first step you come to for God. So that's what we need to get right first. But for those that are saved this morning, those that know and taken of the grace of God, verse 4 says, no man that warreth. Can I tell you, the day that we got saved, that they're saved today, we enlisted into the Lord's army. We raised our right hands and said, I will fall underneath your banner and I will follow thee. Did y'all know that? Did y'all realize y'all signed up for that when y'all said, that's Lord, I believe in you. Some shaking your head, yes. Some just sitting there looking like a cow at a new gate, but that's all right. But the day that we got saved, we enlisted into the Lord's army. And the day that we got saved, we entered into a battle that is going on each and every second of this day. You may not see that battle because it's a spiritual battle. But our Bible is clear. It's going on. Can I tell you that there's things out there that don't like you if you're saved today? There are principalities of the darkness of the air and everything else. There's devils, angels that are out there that wants to see you fail and to fall and to falter. That wants to destroy your life and the life of every believer. Why? Well, he may not be able to take your salvation away from you, and he can't. But what's yours is yours. But by George, he can take your testimony. And that's the war that's going on today. It's a war for who you stand for. It's a war for heaven. It's a war against hell. It's a war against the devil. It's a war for righteousness. It's a war. And we are supposed to warreth, which means that we're supposed to be in that battle. We're supposed to be up in arms, as you would say of Nehemiah's wall, how they took a trowel and a spear in each hand and went to work. Can I tell you, every day that's how we're supposed to go out into the world. We're supposed to take a trowel and a spear because it's a battle. And you enlisted into it. You have no right to sit on the sidelines and watch. But so many do. So many today we find, as our text verses, verse 4, is entangled. Meaning that they're so wrapped up what's going on with the day that they don't realize what's going on around them. And they miss the whole picture. There's a couple of things I'd like to talk about this morning. And first is entangled with the past. Oftentimes, we fret so much about what happened yesterday. Or we worry so much about an instance or a situation that happened long ago. Matter of fact, a lot of us today, we keep dragging up a sin that was back yesteryear. Something that maybe we've already repented of. We've already turned away from, and God has already forgiven us of it. But in our minds, we keep going back to that same sin. We keep allowing the devil to drag it up out of the bottoms of the ocean and put it before our face. And that remembrance of the past consumes our day. We think about it. We worry about it. We often wonder, hey, what if that didn't happen? Hey, what if I would have made this choice or that choice? Hey, what if I would have done this or that? It consumes your very being. You get entangled with something that I can tell you that you can't fix. You get entangled with something that you can't change. You get entangled with something that literally takes over your life. But can I tell you, the only thing you can do about it is repent and go on. The only thing you can do about the past, if you made a mistake, is ask the Lord God Almighty, and He is just and righteous, that He'll forgive you of it, and then let it go. The only thing you can do about the past is learn from it. The only thing you can do about the past is not repeat it. But can I tell you, if you sit there day in and day out and wonder about changing the course of something that's already happened, you're going to miss what's going on today. And that's what Paul is talking to Timothy about. He says, look, you don't need to worry about the things of yesteryears. You need to worry about the battle that's going on right now. You need to worry about these dear people that are walking the streets, lost and dying, because nobody's told them of who Jesus Christ is. You're not to worry about the things that you have no control over. Don't let them consume you. And then, number two, we get entangled with the day. We really do. And I myself am guilty of this. How many think there's not enough hours in the day? Go ahead and raise your hands. Can I tell you, we had the same amount of hours that Jesus Christ did back in His day? He got a lot of work done, didn't He? Matter of fact, there's pages and pages. Matter of fact, did John not say in the end of his gospel that there's not enough books in the world to fill with everything that Jesus Christ did? He had the same amount of hours and days that we did. Matter of fact, I'm older than what Christ was when He died. But yet He'd done so much more than I have. Can I tell you, the problem that we have with today is we try to fill it with things. And there's certain areas that we think we're all a little guilty of today. And number one is probably our jobs for a lot of us. You know, the Bible was put out, you know, that a 40-hour work week is enough. Even statistics and doctors will show you anything after that, you become unprofitable to the work center. You actually start degrading in your and your efforts and everything else like that because you become tired. It's the reason the Bible gives us the seventh day for rest. But we often, we go into our work areas. God blesses us with a job, and we thank the Lord for the jobs that we have, but we go in there and we try to do what? Work more hours. Why? Because we want more what? We want more money. Why? Because we got more bills. Well, how'd that happen? Because we wanted more what? More stuff. Can I tell you that God gave you a job to supply your what? Your needs. Amen. We know that, right? But yet on the flip side, what do? We go from our needs and to our desires, and then we go from our desires to more work hours. And then what does that do for our time for God? It starts to become unbalanced. We start entangling ourselves with work, and we forget about the things that God has asked us to do. We forget about the things that God has commanded us to do in His Word. But yet, what do? More overtime. More overtime, and more overtime. And the next thing we know, we're working on Sundays, or we're working on Wednesday nights, because we've become so entangled with the things that we thought that we needed, or the life that we thought we had to have. But God said, I'll supply your needs. And He does do that for those that are faithful. But not only that, then we don't think that the position that God gave us is enough sometimes. So we try to do more so that we get promoted. Can I tell you, God puts you where He wants you. Not only in your workplaces, but in your communities and in your churches. God does that. He knows where you need to be. Don't out try to promote God. He knows what's best for each and every one of us. He knows that promotion is going to take what? More time. He knows that promotion is going to take more hours. He knows that promotion is going to take more time away from Him. And you're going to get entangled with the job, and you can't war the war because you're so busy taking care of work. And then we have our families too. And we love our families. God has blessed us with our families. I love my children, and God has gave us an increase recently. Y'all seen Him running around. He'll be back next Sunday too. Praise God. But can I tell you, we can get entangled with our families too. Especially if we have young ones. Because you see it every day. You have one kid that goes to soccer. You have one kid that goes to piano. One kid that goes to band. One kid that goes to football camp. One kid that goes over here or goes to this or to that. And the next thing you know, you're running from place to place. And you started out in the morning taking a kid here. And you started out in the evening picking up a kid here. And you had no time to do anything for God. Why? Because you got entangled with the day. You got caught up with everything else but what the war is about. You got caught up with life and you forgot about the things that are going around you. Can I tell you that that shouldn't be? Sports are nice. We want our kids to do these things, right? But at what expense? Do we do them at Christ's expense or at God's expense? Because that's happened. It's happening all over the place. It's happening in our churches. You can see the dwindling number on Sundays. You can see the non-existing numbers on Wednesday nights. They're not here because why? They're out on the sports field doing things with their children. How are our children supposed to learn how to serve Christ? How are our children supposed to learn how to serve God if we're so entangled with the rest of the world? We don't teach them. And we wonder why things happen to our families. I mentioned earlier that oftentimes it takes rock bottom to realize that we're falling in the first place. Well, we've been falling throughout the whole day. Because I can tell you, when we get up in the morning, we often first get entangled right then and there. We get up in the morning, then we start thinking about what? We start thinking about the end of the day. Can I tell you, when you get up in the morning, first thing you should be thinking about is God. First thing you should be thinking about is His Bible, His Word, His prayer. You know, we should be going to God every morning asking Him or giving Him thanks first for the blessing of getting up that day and asking Him permission of what to do for that day and asking Him how to do it in the first place. If we ain't starting a day out like that, we done gone wrong. But we know that. But yet what happens? We get up in the morning and we think about the day. And just, we got entangled. And we never look back to the beginning where we're supposed to start. And then we wonder. We wonder oftentimes why our families are falling. We wonder oftentimes why we're in such trouble and such messes in our lives. It's because we entangled ourselves in the world and forgot about God. Paul warns Timothy. He says, listen, Timothy, these things are going to happen. Life is life. We all going to have to walk the face of the earth. We're all going to have to get jobs and do things. We're all going to have houses and food and everything else like that. But I'll supply your basic needs of life. But do not, Timothy, get entangled with everything else that's going on. The rest of the verse says what, though? You can't even be pleasing to Christ if we get entangled. Because Christ expects us to do what? He expects us to war. He expects us to stand up and fight. He expects us, when things come into our town like this casino that's wanting to come in, what are we supposed to do? Sit on the sidelines? No, what are we supposed to do? It's sin. What are we supposed to do against sin? We're supposed to fight. Sin comes into our town and we've done it in the past. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to stand up and fight. How do we do that? Well, first we pray. And then second, we go. Where do we go? We go down to the council. We show up at the meetings and tell them, hey, look, according to God's word, this ain't right. And we show them how we stand here at High Plains Baptist Church, that we stand for God. We have to fight the battles. We are called to do that. And if we want to be pleasing to Him, we have to war the war. We need not get tangled up in so much of what's going on today in our day-to-day lives that we forget about the battle that's going on around us. We get tangled up so much about going to the grocery store that we forget to witness to the person next to us. We get in such a hurry. We're so busy, we ain't got time to waste at Walmart. We ain't got time to do this. We had time to go in the first place, right? Take the time to witness to somebody next to you. If we get so busy of what's going on, we forget to do what God has asked us to do. We get so entangled, so messed up, and so carried away that we miss the opportunities and the true blessings of life that God has given us. Because we're like an ostrich with our head stuck in the sand. We can't see around us. We miss the lightning and only hear the thunder. And then we get entangled with the future. We all worry about the future. The Bible tell us to do that? No, it does not. But what do? We often ponder where we're going to be a year from now. We often wonder about tomorrow. Can I tell you, don't worry about tomorrow. The Bible even says no to worry about tomorrow. To worry about what? Today. For today is the day of work for the Lord. Not tomorrow. He'll take care of that when you get there. If He allows you to get there in the first place. He'll be right there with you. He promises that. But we often worry so much that we try to put money back and everything else. And that's not a bad thing, don't get me wrong. But when you start putting the Lord's money back, that comes an issue. But then we try to, like I said, we try to work more. We try to do more things. We worry about others. We try to stop things from happening or help things to happen. We're not supposed to do that. If we're trying to do that, what are we taking from God? His control. He has a purpose for each and every one of you. Can I tell you that your destiny is already set? He knows where you're going to go. He has a path for you. And if you believe God is God and He's the creator of all things, He's omnipresent and potent and everything else, then you what? Let God have His will in your life. Allow Him to worry about your future. Allow Him to take care of tomorrow. Allow Him to take care of 15 years from now or 20 years from now. Can I tell you there might even be 15 years from now? And I hope there's not 15 years from now. But we're not to worry about tomorrow. We're not to get so concerned about tomorrow that we forget to live today for God. But we do that. We worry and we fret and we try to do things to prepare. Hey, how about fighting a battle today? There's enough going on today that you need to worry about. You need to worry about the soul that's next to you, maybe your neighbor or something that's lost. Or maybe the one that you share a hall with at work or something like that that's never heard the plan of salvation. Hey, maybe there's a friend or family that's under attack and you need to bend down and maybe spend an extra 30 minutes in prayer today. That's the war that you need to be worrying about today, not the one about tomorrow. And one last thing, and hear me out on this one. I know that Christ is coming. And I'll stand here and proclaim that every day of the week. We see the signs. We see it on TV. We see it in the newspapers. We know it by the changing of the laws and everything else that the Lord's coming is imminent. It's near. And praise God for it because I'm ready to go. But can I tell you, that's the thunder. We oftentimes get caught up And we should, as Christians, be encouraging each other. We understand and we need to know that the Lord is coming so that we get busy. But all the verses in the Bible about the Lord's second coming is to who? The church. It's to us. It's to us, the believers. So that we'll get off our lazy hind ends and get busy for Him. To be quite honest about the situation. That's what it's for. So that we'll know that He's coming as a thief in the night. That we don't get caught doing something we ain't supposed to do in the first place. It's a warning to us believers. But can I tell you, when we go out into the world and try to share that with the world, they don't care. Why? Because that's the thunder. We need to tell them about the lightning that came first. We need to tell them that Jesus Christ came down from heaven as an infant 2,000 years ago. We need to tell them how He came and died on the cross for each and every one of us. We need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the Great Commission? Did it tell you? Did it say go out into the world and tell them I'm coming again? No, the Great Commission is what? Go out into the world and tell them I came. Go out into the world and tell them I died for them. Go out and tell the world, tell them I was buried, and on the third day I rose and I'm up in the glory of heaven, the Father. That's what the Great Commission says. That's the lightning that we need to be sharing today. That's what's going on. That's what the world needs to hear. Can I tell you, when that trumpet sounds, they're not going to know no better. They're not going to know any different. They're not going to know why Brother George is no longer here. They're not knowing why Brother Steve's not answering his phone. The world's not going to know why. Why? Because we didn't tell them about the first place. We didn't tell them that Jesus Christ came in the first place. Because they're not going to believe the second until they believe the first. We don't need to get entangled so much about the end. Yes, we know the end is coming. And praise God, it's coming soon. It's a glorious thing. And we should share it among each other. But when we go out the doors, they don't need to hear about the second coming. They need to understand the first coming. They need to understand that they're sinners. They need to understand that there's a hell to pay and a heaven to gain. Because they won't ever see the lightning unless we tell them. They're just going to hear the thunder and wonder what happened. It's our jobs not to get caught up in the past. It's our jobs not to get caught up in our day-to-day lives. It's our jobs not to wonder about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's our job not to worry about what's going to happen. We know what the Word of God says. We believe what's going to happen in the future. We see the writing on the walls. He's coming again, but it's our job not to worry about that. It's our job to fulfill the Great Commission and go out there and tell Him that He's came, that He has risen. That's our jobs. As Paul told Timothy, let's not get entangled with the world, but fight today's battles. It's time that we go to war and stand up for what we believe in. And it is a war. It's a battle. It truly is. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Be a soldier today. Worth the fight. Don't entangle yourself and please the one that has sent us. Let's stand. Father God, we love you. Lord, and we thank you. We thank you that you died on the cross. We thank you that you allowed us to be a part of the Lord's army.